It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a...
Josh Cohen, and home team.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Because every day above ground is a good day. It is the home team for the weekend kickoff edition. That's right. Thursday pre-quin home team on the ride home. Like it says on I-95 in the HOV lane, 4 to 6 Eastern, ESPN 106.3. Live worldwide on the ESPN app. And also live worldwide by telling any smart speaker, play ESPN West Palm. Thursday, day 2 of the First Lady of the Delusional Republic for the week that is Jeanette Javier.
Hola.
¿Qué pasa?
¿Cómo estás?
¿Qué pasó?
¿Qué pasó? What happened?
You know the difference, C-Cat, by the way, Christian Cat, you know the difference between ¿Qué pasa and ¿Qué pasó?
I do not know.
So ¿Qué pasa is like, you know, like what's up, what's happening? And ¿Qué pasó is like what happened? Like if someone says ¿Qué pasó? Like generally something went wrong.
Yeah, it's past tense.
Yeah, like what happened? All right. That's not good.
I'll never forget that now. It's filed away.
Yeah, ¿Qué pasa? Is
something
friendly.
To use with your Cuban girlfriend, you know? You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think you know a little more Spanish. You'd think you'd take an interest in that.
One might, yeah.
or two. I would be one.
And I would be two.
Yeah.
Make it three. I should. Yeah.
There you go. All three of us.
No, I go back in time 4 years. I would have thought I know more now. So yeah. Mm.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think you've not taken an interest in learning the native language?
I'm lazy. I'm a bad boyfriend. I'm very selfish. List goes on and on.
Got it.
I am just so proud that you took you have the accountability to state all of that confidently on air, Christian. Look at you.
It's the first step, right?
Because I could never.
Could never what? Be accountable?
Be as accountable as Christian was about himself than I would be on me.
Listen, he's the most intelligent member of this show. And by the way, if we're ranking, and we haven't ranked it with Jeanette, because the other day I said, as far as intelligence is concerned, something tells me C-Cat's probably the most intelligent member on the show. I think Dean Thomas is probably number two on that list. You and I are going to fight for number three. And I'm not sure how that one goes. It might be me, but if it is, it's not by much. And then Tina, unfortunately, is going to wind up, it appears, bringing up the rear.
It's not in stone. That could change, right?
Of course it will. Can it, though? Because my intelligence is average. I mean, I've been tested, and I know that. When I was a kid, I was in the first or second grade. I was in the gifted program. And I remember being a part of the gifted program. They're like, you guys are smarter than the other kids. And I was like, really? And they say, yeah. And we had like special stuff we were working on. But then apparently I plateaued because the next year I wasn't in the gifted program and other kids still were.
I was a massive overachiever. AP classes. I clept a bunch of stuff. I went into college.
Did you peak early?
What happened?
Did you peak early?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I peaked until my first year of college, and then I got my master's.
Got it. Well, good for you. Yeah. So don't confuse intelligence with knowledge. I'm not very intelligent, but I'm extraordinarily knowledgeable. It is more valuable in life to be intelligent. So, of course, I've got the thing that anybody could get that isn't that useful. And I don't have the thing that you really want that is harder to come by.
Not really. I think
anybody can be knowledgeable.
Are we including street smart in that too? Because street smart's a whole different category, and there's definitely a different type of ranking with that.
Yeah, we're not talking about street smart. We're talking about knowledge versus intelligence. Knowledge means I know who won the Super Bowl every year since 1982.
Oh, I fail in that.
Intelligence means if you show me a little diagram, which stick do you have to move to then make them all connect? You can only move one stick once. I'm not good at that.
Oh, okay. So I would be more intelligent than knowledgeable.
When I was a little boy, I remember vividly, this was kindergarten, and the whole class was sitting there, and they were learning how to draw the letter P. And I'm in the back of the class with the student teacher, who was like a college junior, senior. She was fine. And you know, like when you're five and you're delusional, and you think you're a grown-up, you think you're on the same level?
I still live in that world.
Yeah, you do. You do. But you're not five anymore.
No.
You're 3 decades later. You still
almost 3 decades. Chill, dude.
I remember sitting in the back of that classroom. Check it out. Take it back. Decade is what? The '80s. I'm sitting in that classroom. And I remember vividly the rest of the kids are learning how to draw the letter P. And I'm in the back of the room with the student teacher, who was fine, by the way. And she has these reading cards where there's a word and then part of it's covered up. And then she removes the second part, the back end of the word. What do they call it? Flashcards? What is that?
Yeah. Flashcards on an index card. Yeah.
It's a word printed out on a horizontal card and it says fish. And then she moves the second part of it and it says fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one says run, running, eat, eating. And so I'm about three of these in when I realize as soon as she moves her hand, it's going to be ing. So I was like, climbing, dining.
You're not fooling anyone.
Fooling.
Yep.
Not me. And I remember feeling so superior to the other kids in the class because I'm back here doing this one-on-one and those idiots don't know the letter P. Then the next year, I'm in the gifted program the next year or 2 years later. And a lot of my friends were in there too. You know, a lot of the super nerdy, super smart kids, but some of my friends also. And when you're that age, you don't really know who the nerds are yet. You know, because you're kind of all the same in first grade. You're the same height. You know, the pretty girls haven't gotten pretty yet. And, you know, the athletic boys haven't become athletic yet. So you don't really know what's what. But I remember being in that gifted program and being like, what's this about? Like, well, you guys are smarter than the other kids. Which is a terrible thing, by the way, to tell a second grader. Don't you think? That's how you know this was the 1980s.
And you relay that message. If you're one of the smart kids, you let the non-smart kids immediately after you're out of that classroom.
So it was interesting because I'm in the gifted program and I'm with the other smart kids and we're away from school. Like they literally took us on a field trip to this other, and I think we got IQ tested or something. But then the next year I was no longer in the gifted program.
You dropped out?
No, I didn't drop out. I just,
without knowing?
Apparently, what?
You dropped out without knowing?
No, I apparently wasn't on the level. Apparently they misdiagnosed my intelligence.
Ooh.
Or they thought that I belonged and they realized, no, he's not gifted. He's like the other kids.
Or you lost some of your IQ.
Can you do that?
Maybe.
I don't think you can.
Maybe your school was like soccer with relegation. We're like, you know,
I got relegated.
10%.
I got relegated to regular kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just noticed. So our brand new studios are going to have little mini cameras. We're going to have a video stream. But C-Cat now sits directly to my right. And Jeanette sits across from me. But that's where Dean will be and Tina will be somewhere in the middle, I guess. Because we just moved the seats around because the backdrop is the street. And the lighting from the street means that our face is not visible. But if you're going to watch a video stream, you're only going to see the side of my face. Because I'm going to spend 80% of the time looking to my right, looking into the window to the producer who pushes the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a bad camera show. If you're watching on TV, because I won't be looking at the camera, I'll be looking to my right the whole time.
Yeah, but anyway, you should subscribe to ESPN West Palm Play, because it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a fantastic show when the time comes.
Won't it just be the radio show, but you can see us?
Yeah.
That's great.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I think so. I speak so much through my face, so I'm excited to see how petty and
take
weird
it
I look.
From the quarter century veteran of doing this medium, this is a much more interesting medium when you can't see. When you can only hear and your mind creates the pictures. When you can actually see, not nearly as interesting. Just like reading the book versus seeing the movie. Why is the book always better? Because in your mind, you create the pictures. And when you go see the movie, that's not who I would have cast.
Oh,
that's not what her house should look like.
I hope I look as attractive as people assume I am.
They don't assume much, so you're safe. The bar is very low. So you're good. I think you're going to be safe.
Yay. No, let me get my fake eyelashes on, though, before we go live with it.
Why do you need fake eyelashes?
Because they just look better. Every female, if you know, period.
Got it. Dan Quinn, breaking news, new head coach of the Washington Commanders. May have heard by now. Dan Quinn, heading to the district. Did not have a, impressive showing in his last game of the season as the DC in Dallas. Cowboys look bad.
Mm.
He wasn't responsible for all those points because 14 of them came off of the offensive side of the ball. But damn it. Dan Quinn getting a second chance at a head job. Remember, he was the successful coordinator in Seattle, then went to the Atlanta Falcons. We all know he had the 28-3 lead over Belichick and the Patriots. They didn't hold on to that, unfortunately. He goes to Dallas, D.C. there, and now here he is headed back to the head job, and this time the District of Columbia. First thoughts on the hiring, Jeanette.
Good for him. He gets another opportunity to prove it.
And I like it's that.
Good for the organization as well.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of times people have a tendency to go that one moment, that one game. You know, yes, his team did not hold on to win in that Super Bowl against the Patriots. Okay, we get that. You know, it was a 28-3 lead. We get that. It's not all on him. As a head coach, you become really a manager. You become really like the governor of a state. You're not a senator. The senators are the coordinators. You know, that's Kyle Shanahan to some degree. Calling drop back passes that took him out of field goal range, if you recall, in the sack that went in after Julio Jones made that incredible sideline catch. And then that's also on the defensive side of the ball. You know, you're the head man, but you're a defensive coordinator that surrendered. Plus, you had a couple just moments of Super Bowl all-time history. Like, you know, that one, who was that?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No. Atlanta Falcons,
oh.
New England Patriots. I can't remember who made that one play, but obviously we remember Edelman with the ball that somehow stayed above the ground. He had a couple of those moments. A couple of them went against the Patriots earlier in the century, twice against the Giants. If you recall, there was a play in both those games, including the helmet catch with David Tyree. Well, karma came back around, and Edelman was able to keep that ball off the ground somehow, some way. So sometimes fate and destiny have decided for you. I don't think it's on Dan Quinn that they blew that lead. With that said, he got the job over the guy that beat him down 3-28. He got the job leading 28-3 over the guy who was trailing 3-28. And that's impressive that he got the job over Belichick, who was interested in it, CK.
Yeah, I know a couple of Commanders fans from college, and they're kind of just, it's an unremarkable hire. It's kind of boring in their eyes, and it's not getting them excited for 2024 season.
What were they hoping for? Who were they hoping for?
I don't know, man. But the reputation for Dan Quinn, as you said, he shouldn't be judged off that one game.
No.
But fair or unfair, that is how he is judged in the public view.
Is it an exciting hire? Listen as the news broke this morning on ESPN's First Take. Take a listen as Stephen A. is informed by Molly Quinn that, Molly Quinn. if Molly Karam.
Yes.
That Dan Quinn is going to be the new head coach in the District. Listen.
We got some breaking news.
Yeah, we have breaking news right now I want to get into. From Dallas to D.C., the Commanders are hiring a defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, as their head coach per league sources. Adam Schefter just tweeting this out here. Quinn and Commanders GM Adam Peters are the two men now charged with leading Washington into the future. All right, Stephen A., I'll start with you. Do you like Dan Quinn as the hire as head coach of the Commanders?
No.
Ooh.
I do not.
No. I do not.
Period.
He didn't really care. I mean, there was no enthusiasm. There's no excitement. He's not yelling. He's not screaming. No. I don't care. No. He doesn't care. Dan Quinn is not going to get you excited, I don't think. Not right now. A couple years ago, maybe. He's not going to get you excited. He's not going to. I don't think this was a case of like, oh my God, you know, they didn't hire so-and-so. I think it was a case of, I think most people assume Quinn was just going to be stuck in Dallas. Like he was not necessarily on anyone's hot list, had to have list. It felt like he wasn't leaving.
Yeah, if you kind of, maybe it's apple to oranges, but when the Jets hired DC Rob Saleh, that was exciting for them. I mean, defensive coordinator of the 49ers.
He's such a raw,
New York.
Do you remember what a rah-rah guy he was?
He sure was.
On the sidelines, he'd run out halfway out of the field for his guy. And I was like, I don't like this guy. I didn't like Saleh based on that. It seemed so histrionic. It seemed so, hey, where are the cameras? Hey, I'm going to go ahead and make a whole scene. And then I got to hear Saleh a little bit in press conferences, and I got to certainly watch him a lot on Hard Knocks, and I'm like, you know what? I was wrong about this guy. I actually like that guy, but you were saying?
The vibes were high in New York for the Jets organization when they hired
him. Excitement.
I'm not hearing that and feeling that wherever I've looked with the Commanders with Quinn.
Probably not. You were saying, Jeanette?
No, I was going to say, I kind of relate to your first impression of Saleh of not liking him, and then really liking
rah-rah?
Him.
Saleh or Is it pronounced rah-rah or Saleh?
Saleh.
I thought it was rah-rah. Because when on the Niners, you know, he'd run halfway on the field after they would literally get a stop on like 3rd and 28. And he would run on the field like it was to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, take it. It's the first quarter. You're playing Jacksonville. It's week two. Relax.
But in my really tough research of head coaches, Saleh's one of the few ones who have gotten hotter as the season's progressed. A lot of them get more stressed, gray hairs, more wrinkle. They look ragged. Salah turned hot.
You think he got better looking?
Mm. Yes, which right. is weird.
Right. So being an NFL coach kind of does what the presidency does. You see presidents when they
yes.
get in office versus when they leave.
That's what stress does.
It sure does.
But Salah has beat the odds. He is the most successful part of the Jets, hand down.
To me, Salah looks like somebody that comes out of a genie that you find on the beach if you rub it. And then he says, you get three wishes. He looks like a genie to me.
Give me that. I'll take it.
He looks like he'd play a genie in an off-Broadway production of something ripping off Aladdin.
I mean, I'll rub his lamp. That's not a problem.
Does he not look a little bit like a genie?
I think it's the shiny bald head.
The shiny bald head, but very like clear features.
Yeah.
He's very manly and he looks like, not the Robin Williams.
And a full beard. Yeah, like, like how to grow a beard 101.
A very, very black beard.
Yes.
A very, very dark beard. A very dark beard to the degree that I know Pat McAfee's show was questioning. Like, he's got to be dying that. And actually, they asked him. He said, no.
He probably is.
But you know, he's in his mid-40s or whatever.
He looks good.
And there's no gray. There's no salt in that pepper. That beard is definitely under the influence of something. Speaking of beards that are maybe a little too dark for your own good, Eminem, take it easy on the beard dye. Marshall, we love you. Take it down a notch. I'm glad that Marshall Mathers is out in the public again. I'm so glad that he wants to be part of the Lions thing, and he wants to be in public, and he wants to interact with fans and the crowd, because he was a shut-in for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He was a dude that ballooned to 300 pounds. He was doing the Elvis thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing prescription drugs all night, sleeping all day, ordering in tons and tons of fast food.
He went through it mentally.
He should have died, and he relapsed with his addiction a couple times. I'm so glad to see Eminem looking healthy, being out in public, engaging, interacting, tweeting mm-hmm. about he's going to take the Lions OC out of his diss track for leaving since not leaving. Like, I'm so glad. But with that said, it's okay to have a little bit of salt in your pepper, Marshall.
And it's
okay
a look,
to have a little,
too.
Can't have a little gray in your face. It, mm-hmm. It's a natural progression. It means you survived. Because a lot of us were afraid that you were going to look the way you looked forever, meaning that you was going to die 15 years ago. And it looked 15 years ago like you weren't going to survive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was hoping the double birds in Santa Clara. He was at the Lions Niners games. It was awesome.
And he's wearing a Mom Spaghetti shirt, which is obviously from
awesome.
The iconic 8 Mile song, but he has a restaurant called Mom Spaghetti. It's great.
How about the fans like getting flipped off by Eminem? Did that make their year?
100%.
Because there's no anger there. There's please flip us off. And he does. And they're like, yeah, because it's all in good fun.
It's also what you would expect him to do. Eminem, one of the most notorious, I don't give a bleep rap artist.
Well, I don't know if it's what you'd expect from him.
Oh, I would expect that.
I know. Because
100%.
No, he would ignore everybody. For years and years, he would ignore everybody. He was like, you know, if you ask him a question, he would ignore it. If you said, try to get his attention, he pretended he couldn't see you. Like, he was on that level of, I'm on this level of insulated, iconic superstar. I'm not a musician. I'm beyond that. And now he's being one of the guys. Now he's being Jason Kelce. Now he's flipping off the fans from there. He's wearing the he's singing along. Like, a lot of, you know, Eminem 15 years ago, if he was at the game and they showed him on the screen and they played Lose Yourself, he would have had his bodyguard stand in front of him to block the camera. And then he would have left and been furious and not said a word to anyone. And now here he is, two decades later, and he's singing along with his own song and encouraging the crowd. He's become a guy that realizes, you know what? Like, I'm a grandfather now. You know what? Like, I survived it. I did it. We're on a third generation of listener, a fan. He's got a third generation. There are little kids now that are the third generation. There's 10-year-old kids that sing his songs whose grandfathers, you know, were teenagers when he was doing it in 1999. That's pretty cool.
You know, you said imagine
kind of scary. I'm really old.
Being in the shoes of a fan who gets flipped off by Eminem, I think it's almost like a teenage girl if you're at a Harry Styles concert and he pointed at you, blush like that if Eminem flipped me off. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I saw a video the other day on IG of Harry Styles throwing champagne on the girls in the pit. And the girls were screaming in delight. Delight. Like, they're all sticky now.
Yeah.
And wet from champagne, but it was like, oh my God, he threw champagne on us.
Well, that's like the Steve Aoki cake.
I was just I've been caked by Steve Aoki
really?
In Tomorrow World in Atlanta the second time I went. Right, I was right front and center.
Right into the middle of your face? He picked you?
Yes.
Where's
he pointed and he threw a cake at my face.
We need the video.
I took pictures.
There's gotta be video.
But Tomorrow World 2013, look it up. Steve Aoki caked me in the face.
Do that, because there's got to be video There's got to be somebody. Not you took it, obviously. You're getting caked in the face. But somebody. I was on stage with Steve Aoki at Kentucky Derby a couple years ago because he's friends with my buddy Adam Weitzman. Nicest guy. Backstage afterward, nicest guy. The nicest, sweetest, quietest guy. Big fight fan. Big UFC guy. Big fight fan. Want to talk about the fight game.
Yeah, because he's not one of those guys where it started from the bottom, now he's here, because he grew up very wealthy. Isn't his father the owner?
His father's the owner of Benihana.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So things yeah, kind of given to him on a silver spoon. You could assume that, but no. The fact that you have great experience with him makes me happy.
Hard worker. Super nice guy. I was in an elevator with him once also at the fights. Well, I want to say T-Mobile Arena or Madison Square Garden. He's always at UFC fights, but I only really had a conversation with him because our mutual friend, and we were on stage like while he performed, and then we were back afterwards. And he actually gave my buddy his jacket. He gave him the jacket he was wearing on stage. He gave it to my buddy Adam.
I really love the different ways we know Steve Aoki on the show.
Steve Aoki. You got the cake in the face. Yeah, it is similar to that. It is what Jeanette's saying. It is because those fans are like, oh my God, Eminem is playing along with us.
Yeah.
He's not mad at them, and they're not mad at him. And no one's throwing anything at him. And he's not throwing it at anyone. He's giving them the finger, and they're loving it. And he's loving the fact they're loving it. Good for Eminem, Survivor.
For sure, because I can imagine if I went out randomly on a Saturday night and the DJ that I'm drunkenly danced to throws a cake in my face right there, Somebody's going to the hospital, and it's not me.
There's something about the Steve Aoki, like, cake me thing that's weird to me. There's something about that. Again, there's something about that.
The cake was good, too. It was vanilla.
The fact that people want that, like they want it to happen. We were at Sunfest a couple years ago. 2018, maybe 2019, actually probably earlier, probably 2017. Steve Aoki was headlining Friday night at Sunfest. And there was an old lady. I mean, she had to be in her 70s. And she was like, I want the cake. And he threw this giant sheet cake and hit her right in the face.
Yep. And it hurt.
Does he cake men and women or is it just women?
I don't know.
Good question.
Because that kind of seems...
Feels like it's just the ladies.
Right. And it
kind of
seems
according to my research, it's women.
Like a degrade me type thing. They like that a lot. That's what it kind of seems like, right? You're treated like crap. You don't throw a cake at someone you love.
I don't think I was like, degrade me, Steve Aoki, in the middle of this field. Yes, degrade me with your cake, Steve.
Not about degradation.
Not
you know
at
what it
all.
Is? You know what it is? I want attention. It's a cry for attention.
Nah, you're in the mood, man. Man, you're just in a sea of people not sober, having a good time, dancing. This guy wants to throw cake at you. Why the heck not? Let's make it more iconic. No, let's go.
The person that wants to get caked wants to be the one that everybody else is like, oh my God, she's the one. It's like being chosen. It's being the chosen one. It's the, I'm the winner. I got the cake. It's like winning a prize.
I mean, yeah, you felt like a pretty badass. You're like, oh my God, girl, how was that?
But think about
that. I got
that
a lot
a
of that.
Think about that for a second. Like, think about that. It's very rude.
I regret none of it. I'd do it again. Cake me, Steve Aoki.
No one asked you.
What did you say, Christian? Degrade me, Steve Aoki.
What about the hour or two after you got caked? It kind of sucked, didn't it? Because now you got cookies and cream in your face.
No, because people then were like, hey, you're the one.
Not only that, but like,
it's an attention thing.
Have you been to an EDM festival, music festival, like a camping one?
No, and I'm not planning on it.
Trust me, the cake on me is the last. It was like probably the cleanest thing I've had and the people I was surrounded with.
That's gross.
Okay.
That's pretty gross.
Well, it was a good time.
I'm sure it is. But I'm saying if your face all caked in cake and the heat and sweat is like you guys go days without bathing.
I mean,
it's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, define bathing. There was like...
Define bathing? Okay, bathing.
Well, define, do you need like an actual
soap,
shower?
Water, soap, yeah, cleaning oneself.
What about like wet paper towels?
We're going to continue on. Good luck to Dan Quinn and DC. The DC goes to DC. Good for you on second chances. Meanwhile, to the NBA last night. The NBA on TNT. And this game was on ESPN. But regardless, I like this music better. Dame Dollar returns to Portland. First trip back. What do you have, 11 seasons with the Trailblazers? How long was he in Portland? Was it 11 years?
Long time.
It was a long, long time. You often wonder, how will the crowd react when the dude who's been there forever, who did want trades, who did ask about trades, who then did get his wish granted, how would they respond? Well, I guess it depends on the market where they are. Because if you do this in New York, it's probably not treated as well as it is in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Take a listen. As old number zero, I'm sorry, letter O, is introduced in his first return to Portland, Oregon.
A guard, 6'3", from Weber State, wearing the letter O,
the crowd did what they're doing right now for over a minute. And it got louder. And then it seemed to get louder. And it seems to get louder. And we're not turning up the volume. It did that for over a minute. Those people weren't sure, is it okay to show the, it is okay to show the love? Okay. And then they heard the crowd. Then they got in their own emotions and they got even louder.
Yeah, you can't just forget how hard you rooted for a guy who brought you to the finals. You can't just forget that, or to the Western Conference Finals. Yeah. You can't just forget that.
I saw a little white boy holding up a sign. It was a poster board sign. And it said, please cake me. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was too bad. No. The sign said, get your ring, then come back home.
Yes.
And I was like, aw.
The first
get your ring, then come back home. In other words, we're not going to win it here.
No.
So go get it and then come back here after you're done.
I got goosebumps when I first heard that audio. It's the ultimate level of respect, and it shows
and
the
love,
appreciation.
And appreciation.
Lillard, they have over Lillard, who dedicated the majority of his prime years to that organization.
But he was asking for out of Portland, and
asking for out of Portland because of the organization, because he wanted players. He wanted a support system. He was asking for it, and they never gave it to him.
It's a rare thing when player who's asking out gets that kind of reception from the team. And what it says is, we understand.
Uh-huh.
The fan base is saying, we totally get it.
But if there's...
And that's a rare thing.
And I hate to make another comparison sport to sport, but the Jared Goff going back... I'm sorry, Matt Stafford going back to Detroit, he was met with boos. Hard boos. And he gave just the amount of time as Dame Lillard did. He performed very well in his years in Detroit, but he got...
So let me ask you about the kind of people that live in Detroit.
Okay. Yeah, that's completely different,
and let me ask you about the kind of people that live in Portland, Oregon. Like I said, the market matters. The city matters. The tone and tenor of the people matter. The Oregon people, they're outdoors. They ride mountain bikes and they paddle and canoe and they take CBD and they smoke weed. And then in Detroit, it's cold and they're hardworking blue collar people. They've been in that same job in the factory and the assembly line, and they don't complain, and they go to work sick and they do their job, and they do it for the guy ahead of them on the line, the guy behind them on the line, for their family, and they're union people. See the mentality difference?
So Stafford wanted out. They suffered through it. Why shouldn't he too?
Well, no, you're also forgetting.
We're Detroit. We don't give up when it gets hard. We don't bail on each other. We're Detroit. You're smiling and laughing. You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, I understand. I like what you're saying. Yeah. Yes.
So in Oregon, those people are like, we smoke weed. We're on our mountain bikes. Everything's good. Blessed. Let's meditate. And plus, they also are the Portland Trailblazer fans. They haven't really seen that level of success since the 70s.
Well, not only...
So they've only heard stories.
A lot of organizational drama between GM Joe Cronin and Damian Lillard. There was a lot of stuff that went behind the scenes that fans were like, give Lillard what he wants, and if they don't, like, go get your ring.
What's
the fact that a little kid is holding that sign that says, get your ring, and then come back, that shows a lot.
Of course. See, Kat, what you're saying is, I guess maybe what I'm saying to you on this is, it's a very rare thing when the fans in the city are behind the player that wants out. It's a very, very rare thing. And generally it happens after someone did their due diligence, got them the championship, and people realize, you know what? This organization, like, did the Heat fans turn on Dwayne Wade when he left? No. Why not? He was never the highest paid member of the team, even though he was a leader of the team, always, always, and forever. And he relinquished a lot of that. Certainly when LeBron came and Bosh came, when they built the big three.
Even why Shaq was there, with the first championship.
Sure. Why was there no backlash? Why was there no Dwayne Wade, you traitor, you quit? Because the fan base had a special connection with. There's one of these type players, maybe two, in a franchise's history that can almost, if you say, get away with that, where the love is unconditional, and we see where you're coming from. Generally, in the court of public opinion, the fan base is going to turn on any player that doesn't want to be there and isn't trying their hardest. And in the case of Lillard, they recognized he did his very best. He's the reason why we were ever relevant. They're not helping him. We love him so much, we want to see him happy.
Exactly.
That's a rare thing.
It's and everybody, for the most part, cannot stand Joe Cronin.
Last night, back to Dame and going to the hole, driving to the hole. Mind you, he plays for the other team. listen to the crowd, but more importantly, listen to Mark Jones with this little gem he dropped on the bucket.
Ayton switches on to Lillard. He likes that matchup. Dame rises up and punches it home. Oh, he hit that like a stimulus check. Dame Lillard makes it a one-point game.
He hit that like a stimulus check.
I forgot those existed for a reason. I was very grateful when they hit, but dang, what a reference.
Does anyone know what the hell he means when he says he hit that?
What the hell did you just say?
Like a stimulus check.
No, I don't.
Because last night, apparently, Twitter was a buzz and lit up with people going, the hell's he talking about? Hit that like a stimulus check. He didn't say that hit like a stimulus check. He said he hit that like a stimulus. So did he misspeak?
Okay.
It probably was a misspeak then.
And by the way, what does it mean even if it hit like a stimulus check?
You know, kind of like a saving grace. Like, oh, yes, I can eat today some good food.
It, was, it wasn't a saving grace.
Sushi.
It wasn't a saving grace. It wasn't charity. It wasn't some kind of a bonus. Like, it was completely inappropriate reference given the circumstances.
It was.
I guess
it,
so.
It definitely is a weird reference because those checks were given to a dire time in need. But yeah, I wouldn't say that
but,
again.
But there's a time and a place.
For sure.
Like, for example, a Hail Mary might be like, oh, when it comes through like a stimulus check, complete touchdown, Cardinals win. That makes sense.
Well, Mark Jones is known for his references on the air, both basketball and in the NFL. Yeah. I think that on the plane ride to this game.
Tried too hard.
Like, you know what? It's going to be good. I'm going to work this way into the broadcast.
I'm going to work a stimulus.
Mamma mia.
I'm going to work a four-year-old reference in to a game in which a visiting player is back in. Like, there's so many other ways to go with anything that Dame does. That's not the one to do. We got to move quick here now. How about when we get to the end of the game? 2.8 seconds left. 2.8 left on the clock. Portland, 119. Milwaukee, 116. Giannis Antetokounmpo goes to the line, and as we know, he struggles with free throws, and he struggles taking the free throw. He takes forever. Listen to the crowd.
Tonight at the free throw line, he's 7 of 9.
They're counting.
Yes. Right?
They're counting. They're counting
I love
loud.
That.
And he missed it, by the way. On a free throw, you got to make. All right. So the second free throw. You're still down 119, 116 with 2.8 left. Take a listen.
You see so many players forget they have to hit the rim. He must make sure to hit the rim. It comes off, tipped out, but it goes to Brogdon. With 0.1 to go, and that's it. Game over.
With 0.1 to go, game over. Like, which one is it? With 0.1 to go. So he had a rough night last night. Mark Jones did. He thought there was a foul call and there was going to be 0.1 on the clock when clearly the official signal game over, clock ran out.
I love how fans troll Giannis. He is known to take his long, sweet time during free throws.
They were cheering.
Now the fans hold him accountable when nobody's asked.
So they were cheering super loud when the one buck player was scoring on them. And the same dude that they went crazy for when he's introduced, but then when his teammate was trying to hit free throws at the end, they were not cheering for him whatsoever.
Well, of course, yeah. Right. One's Damian Lillard, one's Giannis.
It's kind of like that old thing I say about hurricanes. People get upset when we have storm preparation and we don't get much storm activity because they want to be a little scared. They want a little bit of danger. If people are going to prepare and do the shopping and get their house ready, they want a little bit of action. Because when we do that,
yeah.
And then the storm, there's no semblance whatsoever. Oh, man. I'm like, this is not a roller coaster.
Especially as a non-property owner. Oh, I want that storm to hit. I'm renting.
People want to be on a roller coaster.
Christian.
People want to be on a roller coaster where there's a little bit of fear and a little bit of fun, and you know you're going to be okay. They don't want to be on a plane with turbulence.
Hell no.
Right? It's too much at that point. We come back. The Kelce brothers have taken over all forms of mass media and even the world of podcast. But is it even pronounced Kelce? This whole thing may be a sham. They may not be who they said they were the whole time. We'll find out coming up next. First, though, ballpark, Palm Beaches, 2 weeks. 2 weeks to pitchers and catchers. Jeanette's got the tails.
2 weeks. and spring training is at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches. The Houston Astros, Washington Nationals host some incredible, maybe you've heard them, teams like the Phillies, like the Red Sox, like the Cardinals, and the Marlins, all in a beautiful ballpark with a 360-degree concourse, something for the kids. They have an incredible lawn in the back, something for you adults when you need to relax of taking care of the kids, like some bars and some food. Tickets on sale now at ballparkpalmbeaches.com. See you there.
What's that website again?
ballparkpalmbeaches.com.
Coming up, when we return, the Kelce brothers lying to us the whole time? We're going to find out. Home Team, ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3. Fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks. Is Josh Cohen and the Home Team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Coming up in just a second, are the Kelce brothers lying to us? Are they not at all who they claim to have been this entire time? Shocking revelations to come. We are counting down to Super Bowl 58. We are 10 days away. Our last double-digit deficit to America's biggest spectacle, the Super Bowl on CBS. Speaking of watching things, mm-hmm. How about watching some of our stuff?
Yes.
On YouTube.
Uh-huh.
On our brand new ESPN West Palm Play channel on YouTube. Christian has details.
You know when, like, your favorite team is getting a new stadium, how exciting that groundbreaking is with the shovel into the dirt? That's how I feel here.
Is it really that exciting?
Yeah, because you know that concourse is going to be beautiful and it's going to be your tax money.
You know what's more exciting? When they've got the giant scissors and they cut the ribbon when it's done.
That's what it feels like right now, because I see what's on the way with ESPN West Palm Play. We have planned for you in the month of February.
So you're saying the shovel in the dirt is where we are. In other words, we got a long way to go.
No, not true. Not true. All right, this is...
we're just getting started.
They've just put up the sign. They're still working on the running water in this stadium of ours, ESPN West Palm Play. Subscribe to it right now on YouTube, ESPN West Palm. The same sports coverage you've known and loved the past 20 years. Now it's for free on YouTube. It's all brought to you by Duffy Sports Grill and Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fonrath. Watch us play.
I'll be honest. I would be tremendously offended if I worked on Play, you know, like Brian does, and Theo does, and you do.
Cade.
He's basically in Cade, because what C-Cat is saying is, like, right now, like it's, right now it just getting started very rough. Can't really tell what it is.
So can I
very primitive.
Kind of repurpose your analogy? Because you had this. You had it right. I think it could just be rephrased differently. You know, when you're doing a ribbon cutting, the building is there. The building is there. You have all the assets. All you need is that ribbon to be cut, and in comes everyone else to see this incredible product have built.
That's exactly right.
That's ESPN West Palm Play.
The Kelce brothers have taken over the world of media. They'll have Super Bowl commercials. They have had tremendous success in podcast, in mass media. And obviously, it's a good time for them right now with brother Travis in the Super Bowl. Last year, they both played in the Super Bowl. So this will be the third Kelce brother appearance in a Super Bowl in the last calendar year.
How cute.
Adorable. Chris Jones, however, teammate of Travis in Kansas City, he's on the bench telling his teammates that Kelce's not even their name.
Oh,
listen.
It's not even Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce. Yeah, well, crazy, right?
He's saying it's Kelce. It's Kelce. It's not even Kelce. So the Kelce brothers on their podcast, they asked their own dad, are we Kelce's? Are we Kelce? How's it pronounced? Take a listen.
Should we go by Kelce or Kelce?
Do whatever you want. I did.
That's about as fair of an answer as I've heard.
Hey, Dad. Hey, man. I'm going to go by both. How about that?
I'm going by Kelce. Don't call me Kelce.
You could be Jason Kelce, I'll be Travis Kelce.
Don't do that.
Let's go.
Let's bleep and go. Dad says do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I did.
I didn't get the joke there.
In other words,
why it was funny. Rather. Yeah. I don't get why that was funny to his kids. Do whatever you want. I did. I don't know.
I think that's hilarious. Like, the namesake of their family doesn't even care that much about how the namesake is pronounced.
All right, so
that's hilarious.
Let me help you with this, Christian, since you find that so important right now. Dad's saying, do whatever you want. I did means that the family name used to be that, and I just decided to use this pronunciation instead.
I love that.
Okay.
See the difference?
Now I do.
Yeah. Like his parents, you know, the Kelce brothers' grandparents, they're Kels. Dad was like, Kelce, okay, fine. I'm doing my own thing. Do whatever you want. I did, meaning I broke away from. Ah, you see? Good. Speaking of dad, the brothers Kelce got talking about their taste of music growing up. Imagine what those two were like. Imagine what those two hellions were like in the minivan with poor mom Donna or their pops that we just got to know in the last season. Here's a little story about parent-child differentiation taste of music. And we've all been there. We've all been there knowing that we had something we liked to listen to and our parents were not about it. Here's their story.
Absolutely electric game up there in Detroit. Had Eminem on the Jumbotron singing Lose Yourself.
Brings you back to the first CD you ever owned.
The Eminem remember show, that? Baby. The intro to the albums, the curtains.
Well, you know what happened to that CD, though. You don't remember this?
I don't.
Dad got into the car after you had bought that CD, and he took it out and threw it out the window. I can't believe you don't remember this. It's one of the funniest things I ever saw happen. He started hearing some of the words and everything.
Hi, kids. You want to watch me stick nine inch nails through my eyelids?
What is this? And he threw it right out the window.
See, Kat, something in music you were a fan of, and your parents were just not having it.
When I started listening to country music, they did not like it at all. My mom would hate when I would play country music in the car. Yeah,
strange. Jeanette?
Reggaeton. Put it into perspective, it's kind of when rock and roll was becoming popular and the parents like, oh, this is the devil's music. Growing up in the 90s, that's when you had like Daddy Yankee and Don Omar and reggaeton was becoming mainstream.
Pardon you. Daddy Yankee.
Oh, well, that's
Daddy Yankee. Battled up gasolina.
I'm not gasolina. In that setting right now, Josh. I got to tone it down.
I remember specifically, God rest his soul, my father, single parent, raising the two girls and baby boy me. Three kids, single dad, and the big old Ford Thunderbird, white with the red. It wasn't even leather, probably. It was probably red vinyl interior and the shaggy maroon carpet in there.
Hey, he has swag.
That car was dope. It was like the Lincoln Continental, but it was the Ford, you know, Thunderbird version. The more basic model.
Okay.
And I remember my father being upset with my older sister about the music. And they're like, oh, well, yeah, listen to this old fogey music, she said. And my father's like, you guys need some culture. You need to listen to some jazz. And so, because it'd be playing like Sinatra, stuff I love now, but not then. You know what I'm saying? And he goes, you guys need some culture. So he turned the radio dial over to the college station because apparently the dude had like a jazz show. So he's playing, you know, jazz. And like, but like good jazz now, but as a kid, not, you know, oh, what is this? Because not pop. It's not rock. It's not hip hop. And when I was a little kid, hip hop was just being born. Like when I was a little kid, hip hop was starting to get radio play. So he's listening to the, we're in the car. He says, you guys will listen to this. And he's smoking a cigar. And it's jazz music, and then the record stops. And the DJ is like, 88.6 FM, la la la, Hobart William Smith College, and that was Miles Davis. And here now is going to be a little Herbie Hancock. And your college jazz radio show, whatever it was. And Herbie Hancock's a great jazz musician, fine. Mm-hmm. The DJ forgot to turn his mic off.
Stop.
He's telling a story to somebody. He's cussing. He's saying bad words on the radio. 40 seconds after my dad was like, you need some culture and you need to listen to jazz music. And this, because the music we were listening to had like references to things, but they weren't saying the things that this disc jockey was. He didn't know that his microphone was still on.
That's going to be the best day of your young life.
Oh my God. My sisters to this day still talk about it. 40 years ago.
Ah, Daddy, you were wrong. That's incredible.
They still talk about it. No, to this day, they're like, remember that time? I said, of course I remember that time. Because he had just given a lecture.
Yeah.
You listen to this instead. And it was real cuss words.
Seeing your parent be instantly proved wrong when you're on the other side, there's no rush like that.
And you just have to sit back and smile because you can't call him out on it because then you're back and being in trouble.
It's the best. It's the best. Meanwhile, Travis Kelce yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, why they rocked all black yesterday. You'll notice a lot of the Chiefs players wearing black outfits, black hats. They were in murder out blackout mode. Why did Chris Jones say, guys, we're going to dress all in black when we head into the bank, as they call the stadium in Baltimore? Listen why.
Did you wear the all black on purpose too? I saw the, you know, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris Jones made sure to tell everybody, make sure you're wearing all black this week. Hey. We're going in there. We're gonna hit the bank like Chiefsaholic, baby.
He's watching in jail somewhere right now.
Yep. Oh, oh, yeah!
I did have my impact on the game.
Where's my wolf mask?
For those that don't know, Chiefsaholic was the Kansas City Chiefs fan. They used to wear the wolf mask, and he used to be always on TV, you know, at the games. And he was like, this guy's a dedicated fan. How does he afford to fly around? He's in every city they play. He's got great seats everywhere they play. This guy was a bank robber. This was the Chiefs fan, Chiefsaholic, that they discovered was the dude who was robbing banks. And he figured, well, there's no way they're going to put two and two together. You know what I'm saying? Why would I put myself in position even though I got a wolf mask on? And what McAfee's joking about is this dude's probably in jail right now watching this show going, see, I made it. I have my impact on the team. Look at that. I helped him win the AFC Championship game. Shout out to the convicted bank robber, I think is a dangerous way to go. But on brand for Travis Kelce.
I think a nonviolent bank rob is the coolest crime you can commit. Like, if you pull off a bank robbery.
A nonviolent.
Robbery, yeah, you don't hurt anybody, so you're not destroying any families, but you rob a bank.
About, it's not about the fact that there isn't violence committed. It's the threat of violence. It's the eye of a bomb. It's the eye of a gun. It's that bad things could happen.
It's still traumatic mentally, for sure.
You should rob a bank.
I watched all those Ocean's movies, and I'm just envious of George Clooney. Man.
Oh, well, you could be envious of George Clooney for multiple reasons.
Which Ocean's movie did they rob a bank?
I think the middle one in Europe, they might have done a bank. I don't know. Robbing anything is cool.
There's Christian Cat. Role model for the young people. Robbing anything is cool.
Money's insured, right?
You heard it here, folks.
Remember that. Robbing anything is cool. Remember that. That explains why you wear things and then bring them back to the store. That's why you buy things, use them, and then return them for full refund.
Oh, he thinks he's cool guy because he's doing
that. It's his like little, you know, scaredy cat way of robbing.
Way
to getting back at the system, you know, just using what they provide.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Not coming up when we return, Live Golf Tournament. Yes. Live Golf Tour. They spent $300 million just to humiliate who?
Mayakoba this weekend.
$300 million they gave this dude just so they could humiliate him publicly. This is one of those things that makes you go, it doesn't matter how much money you got. You still got to, you see what I'm saying? This is the little lapse of focus all it takes. We'll get to that coming up in a sec. Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys, car accidents, truck accidents, slip and fall, medical malpractice. My friends are Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine, and they've assembled a team, a big team of litigators that will fight for you. They do not get paid unless you get paid. They will fight to get you the maximum compensation you deserve. Call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine and the Anajar and Levine difference. It takes one phone call. Take back control of your life. So take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733 for Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys to take back control of your life. $300 million is a lot of money to give a dude to only turn around and embarrass and humiliate him. But also, can he be mad given the fact that, well, they gave him all that money? We'll explain next. It's the home team on the ride home on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks. This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Home team on the ride home on the Thursday weekend kickoff edition. Later tonight after the show, I'm going to be a guest on a talk show being interviewed by Dean Thomas.
Nice. Is that going to be awkward for you?
Yes, extraordinarily. I get to answer his questions.
Which is weird.
Because we've never done that. Yeah. He's only ever answered mine.
So he is hosting you.
He's hosting me tonight, right. Dining with Dean. And I'm like, you can't be this hard up for guests. There's got to be a million guests. He's like, no, I wanted to use you. Which tells me he either A, is setting me up because he got bad news for me. B, it is all a scam to remove me from the building, and then I'm going to get jumped, and they're going to beat me up.
Oh, wow.
This might be the break in case of emergency Josh Cohen ask. Like,
a what?
Break in case of emergency.
No.
Get Josh
no,
Cohen.
No, there's no emergency. He could have whoever he wants. He's got plenty of options. The fact that he's choosing me, I'm a little skeptical. Oh. I'm a little bit, like, I'm going to sit in the back seat of the car.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. And then we get there.
Clutching like a pepper spray or something?
I know. I'm prepared for anything. That's all. I know the Roadhouse trailers have come out for the remake, but the original Patrick Swayze, I'm approaching this like Patrick Swayze walking in to the Hornet's Nest.
I do not know what reference that was.
It's a movie called Roadhouse.
Never heard of it.
Well, you're going to want to watch that if you're going to want to do a radio show for men 25 to 64.
Oh.
Particularly because the brand new one is coming out with Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor.
That looks good. I thought it looked very impressive.
No, it kind of sucks. The original's fantastic.
I'm a big Jake Gyllenhaal guy, so maybe that's why.
Are you?
Me too. He's hot.
The original's fantastic. Liv spent $300 million just to humiliate who? See, Kat? It's your boy, John Rahm.
Mm-hmm.
John Rahm got all that money from Liv, and they did a big announcement of the team rosters. They spelled his name wrong, and then they got the name of his team wrong.
Really?
You didn't know that?
I didn't see, either of those mistakes.
Legion 13, right. They got that wrong. They spelled it originally. John Rahm, they spelled it J-O-H-N, and everybody knows his name is J-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
But how mad can he be for $300 million? You roll with the punches.
He'll probably edit it in the next iteration.
Let's go Crushers, man. I'm excited for this Liv season. It's going to be a good season.
You're a
Liv
guy.
Uh-huh.
You should get involved with them.
Dude, I'm going to be there when they come to Miami.
I did an interview with them. They almost hired me. They pay a lot of money. They pay six figures for a coordinator position.
You should get involved, dude.
All right.
And then you can get hired where she didn't get hired, and then you can rub it in her face 3 days a week.
Oh, no, you can have it.
Coming up when we return, Cam Newton doubles down on his Brock Purdy analysis. Does he have a point? We're going to try and count that. Plus, Kay Adams. Kay Adams wonders, are the Chiefs actually a dynasty? Or do they need another win in a Super Bowl to get there? We will discuss next. It's the Cocktail Hour on tap on ESPN 106.3.